Romans 15 and verse 4. You ready for the word? The believer's voice of victory. There is victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you like victory? Chelsea fans don't say anything here. We're talking about real victory now. I'm joking. Talk about victory. Victory is when you win, right? Who likes winning? I love winning. You like to win, you know, which means that you set a goal and you got it achieved. And usually when you talk about winning and victory, you have obstacles. I usually like to tell people, you know, generally about, you know, how not to be distracted in life. And I remember as a young boy, I was in my form one or so. Was it form one or GSS two, one or two? And then we used to go to fetch water. Sometimes in Government College, by the way, I attended, the boarding house borehole, this strange to me, borehole, a non-Nigerian may not understand borehole. Borehole is when you make your own water corporation, when you make your own water supply, you know, so, you know, and then sometimes it breaks down. So we have to go fetch water at a very, very far place. Sometimes we walk hours. And I had, and of course, because I was a junior boy, I had this senior, it was my house, field house. So he was the senior ahead of me. So normally you fetch their own water for them. I mean, that's just one of the joys of it. You know, I was listening to Professor Oshoyinka yesterday and was talking about his own class set 1946. So he said that the seniors then would bully them, that that was not his own problem. That's normal. And I said, well, it's true. It's normal. 1946. So they're in the same school, by the way. That's important to note. So, and he was also in my house. Actually, I think he said they moved him to three houses. He was in Swanson House, became a problem, was fighting for rights. They moved him to field house. The field house pushed him to Gray House. So he was in three houses. You know, so it's been like that since a child. How did I get here? So we're fetching water for the senior, and then we had to go several hours to go fetch. So normally I'll carry my own bucket. You know what it's called? Pail. It's different from this one. Pail. There's something called pail. It's not bucket, though. Pail. So I had to carry two of them to go fetch water. So as I was coming back to, I mean, after going for hours, queuing up, so I got to the boarding house, the hostel, my own hostel. So I was about to climb, or I lie, climb, that's the same thing. Or I just fell. The two buckets went both. And so I started hearing people say, oh no, sorry, sorry, you know, people can, know that they're going to give me water. And I go, hey. So I had enough sense. And I knew the time was already evening. And if I waited for their sorries, or I felt bad, or I checked the wound I had, it wouldn't change the fact that that senior wouldn't care. So I simply took the bucket and ran back. I didn't hear any sorry. I didn't wait to hear it. I ran back, fed the water. I'm sure those guys, what this guy come back to do again? I didn't tell anybody my story. I didn't say, you know, so sad. I simply fetched it, came back. So when I got back, I now looked at where I fell, which means it was more important to reach my goal than to embrace pity. You see, then I felt relief. Then I could start thinking, where is the wound again? Because if it's the goal is not met, it's just not met. Life is full of obstacles. It's full of ups and downs. But you see, God's word, when we read through what we're about to do, assures us of confidence and victory in what we do. But we must have the right attitude in life generally. I gave you a very simple story. And I'll give you more if you want. You know, it's just a simple story that just said to myself, you know what? Go back, get the water. When you are done, muse over what just happened. Sometimes we spend time in pity and trying to feel others should at least understand what happened to us. Well, the truth about the matter is this. Your first confidence should be in God's word and what the word of God says about you. So there's not a sense of victory when you've accomplished a task, when you've passed an exam, when you graduated. That's a sense of accomplishment, victory, which means you set to do something and you did it. When you won a contract, fulfill the contract, it's better to fulfill the contract. Like Nigerians are winning the contract and sell the contract. Amen? You fulfill the contract. When you win the World Cup, I didn't want Argentina to win the World Cup in 2022. So it was after a World Changers Conference prayer meeting. I checked my phone and, you know, I felt, oh my God. I didn't support France because of Mbappe. I just didn't want Messi to win the World Cup. That was it. I mean, that was because of Ronaldo. But my hatred had nothing to do. It didn't have a single effect on the finals. They simply won. And look at what happened afterwards. So many, that's why some of us Ronaldo fans, we have some things we can't say again. They say, where is your World Cup? So we keep talking about the goals we have scored. But you know, that sense of accomplishment, that you've won something, you know, is called victory. And a Christian must know and love victory. Say, I love victory. I don't think I have to say, I love victory. Say, I love to win. God wants you to love to win. You see, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, we found victory. We're rejoicing today, not just because of the activity, but what it accomplished. Someone was defeated. Something was annulled. That's why we are always in joy. Colossians 2 and 15 says he spoiled principalities and powers. You know, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, he makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, giving thanks to God, who causes us to triumph. Actually, the Greek says, he leads us in his victory train. So there's such a thing about loving victory and wanting it as well. But I think what's in the middle of the victory and our desire is what many people shy away from. There will be challenges on the road to victory. You must know that. You see, I am a preacher of the finished work of Jesus. We have a book coming out on that. It's finished. But you see, of everything that is finished, battles are not finished. We're called to fight. We're called to fight, and God lets us know that in fighting, we win. So you should know that between the authority we have in Christ Jesus and the victory that we expect, there are going to be battles. Things we're going to face, I call them realities that are not as real as the reality of the world. You see, realities exist. Sickness in the body is a reality, but healing is a greater reality. Hallelujah. Lack is a reality. If you don't deny it, it's a reality. But God supplying your needs is a greater reality. So in between what we believe God for or what God says about us and victory are things sometimes we might not expect. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, for what things however were written were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now this is Paul writing to the church in Rome, and he's talking about what was written aforetime. Now Paul is not talking about his letters. Paul is referring to the Old Testament books. The Greek word there is prographo, something that had been in existence before his letters. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 3, that same word comes up. Jude 1 4, and Galatians 3:1. But precisely in Romans chapter 1 verse 1, Paul lets us know what he meant by written before time. Romans 1 and 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, to be italicized there, separated unto the gospel of God, Romans 1:1, which he had promised afore. He had promised this afore. Now let me say something about the word promise. When I say I promise you, there are two things that it means. I can promise you money and then give you a date. So when I promise you money, I give you a date. Simply means that at such and such a date, expect the money. But usually that's not the phrase promise in the Bible. The word here is epagelia in the Greek, which is more of a commitment to do what I've said. Not necessarily a future expectation. So when God says, I can also promise you, and say, I promise you, I will never lie to you. I promise you, I'll be your friend. I promise you to be loyal to you. I'm not telling you to wait for it some other day. I am telling you what I mean to you and what you mean to me. When we call God's word a promise, it's not a future wish or a post-dated check. No. It's what he is to us. What he means to us. That is, he is going to personally be responsible for what he has said. Here Paul says he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So which means that in Romans 15 verse 4, Paul is saying, when we read the Holy Scriptures, what do we see? He says the things written aforetime are for what? Our learning. The word learning there is the Greek word doctrine, for doctrine, didaskalia, for our learning. Which means that when I take the Scriptures, the Old Testament as we call them now, it's for my learning. Now the word didaskalia is used in the Greco-Roman world, the Greek world, for how you study in school. The way you study in school. And how do you study in school? You study in school, you know the details of it. You pay attention. You focus on the details. You study. You focus on the details. And then also, apart from that, in understanding the subject matter, you're also able to apply it. Apply it. So, the Old Testament books are written for doctrine. More than that, notice what he says, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. He says patience and comfort of the Scriptures. The word comfort there doesn't mean to say someone is comforting you because you are sad. It actually means something to stand alongside with you. Something that stands along, something you can take in the journey. That actually means to come near to you. The patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, what is hope? Hope is not a mere wish, where you sit back somewhere and begin to wish. I'm aware that the people from Stamford Bridge are thinking of getting to Europe through the FA Cup. Just by beating Preston last night, they seem to have hope. Wherever that is coming from, it's good to hope that way, but that hope is going to make a change. Anyway, hope simply means to have a picture, an expectation. You know, the way someone wants to build a house for you, then they show you what to expect, the genuine ones. They show you the picture, how the room will look like. You know, somewhere in your mind, you begin to see yourself in it. Hope is when you paint a picture of a yet fulfilled expectation. But it's a strong one. Then it's built on, and they explain it to you as well. So you have a picture of what you're talking about. You can see exactly what you're saying. Hope is not a mere wish. Hope means that you have all the resources in place. You just want to put the house together. The word hope in the Greek is the word elpis, E-L-P-I-S, the other word elpizo. It has three things that you must always know God's word does to us. Number one, it gives us confidence. I'll say confidence. I'll say confidence, which is the fact that, oh my God, this is me confidence. So the stories of others in the Bible that God does with others is meant to give you confidence. Now, this is my own personal conviction. You don't have to share this. But naturally in life, I don't compare myself with people, but you know, every time people tell me something is very difficult, this or this, then I look around and I say, but so many people have passed through this. And I tell myself, this is just me, but people have passed through this. People have been here. People have, you know, I remember, you know, my classmates were telling me when I left school, we left school together. I mean, we graduated. Okay, it's good to say that properly. Now, when I left school. And they said, you know, Shegun, we need about 5-10 years before you do this one, before you start your own enterprise. I told them, I said, says who? They said, no, you know, you have to do this. But I had read stories of others that didn't have to go through that part. So I told myself, well, this person had been there, that person had been there, and, you know, and I'm going, hey, you can do it. You know, just that thing, the fact that This has happened before. Why can't it happen again? Now, the same way, the scriptures tell us that when we read scriptures, we are supposed to have an expectation. An expectation, a confident expectation that is sure. Why? Because it's happened before. So, when we hear God's word like we are this morning to the afternoon, we are meant to see an expectation. Word of God, therefore, paints pictures to us, which means that when I read stories in God's word, it comes to me as a picture. Now, that word is from the word elpizo. Elpizo also means to expect, stronger than a mere wish, to expect an outcome, to expect a definite outcome. In Acts 2:26, it's not a mere wish. You sit on your bed. No. It's a hope actually involves your actions. You don't hope doing nothing. Bible hope has you cooperating in your actions. Okay? Which means you get to do something. You get to act on something. You don't just sit down and wait for something to happen. That's not what hope is. Hope involves your own actions. In Acts 2:26, Peter tells us that Jesus in hell, pardon me, in the grave, or call it Sheol, anywhere, you know, both ways. He says about Jesus, did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, moreover my flesh shall rest in hope. That's Jesus. He's not talking about a mere wish. How was Jesus, as a man, confident that God will raise him from the dead? He said, just like Noah. Noah was that confident. Noah was in the belly of the whale. Unlike Jesus who went on our behalf, Noah goes because he's disobedient. And Noah goes in the belly of the whale. How many of you know the belly of the whale is not a guest house? You know about that? It's not a restroom. The belly of the whale is for those who are dead. Jonah was dead. Jonah was dead. He wasn't in the belly of the whale and said, what the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. And he said, no, he's dead. That's why everything he said in Jonah 2, he spoke it, said, I'm in the belly of hell. So he spoke about resurrection. Jesus, therefore, likened his own resurrection to what happened to Jonah. That happened before. And Jonah came back to life and went to Nineveh to preach. Jesus did the same. So because it had happened to Jonah, Jesus had hope as a man. So God's word always presents an expectation. In Acts 23:6, Acts 24:15, Acts 26:6, and Acts 28:20. I'll take that again. Acts 23:6, Acts 24:15, Acts 26:6, and Acts 28:20. Paul presents the entire gospel that we preach as a message of hope. He calls God a God of hope. The hope of our fathers, which is the expectation. Now let me say this quickly. The fathers he referred to were not waiting for Jesus to be raised from the dead. But you know what? They knew that God's word will work. That whatever God said is an assurance for you, it will come to pass. And so Paul says, if I see it in the scriptures, I have hope. Say with me, I have hope. It is not possible to be a believer and be hopeless. They are contradictory terms. A believer is a man and woman, or man or woman, sorry. Hope you got the difference. Man or woman, these days you have to be clear in your terms. Man or woman who have hope. I believe God's word is working. I believe God's word will work. I have a confident expectation that God's word will work. And what's God's word? God's word is simply what I read in the scriptures. That's what it is. It will work. And because I know that, I have a confident expectation. Very confident expectation. have a confident expectation that if it's in the word of God, it will work. In Romans chapter 4 and 18, we see another illustration of hope. Now, before that, in verse 16 or 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Romans 4:17. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead. He said, God who quickened the dead. That's God. And called those things which be not as though they were. It says God who quickened the dead. Now he's talking about Abraham's physical body, which was pronounced as dead, can't have children. It says, God collect the things that be not as though they were. So it's in the character of God to always paint a canvas of expectation. It says he calls the things that be not as though they were. Now people have argued, is it God or Abraham? Well, if I put the word of God on my lips, I'll speak like God does. Is that very clear? He calls the things that be not as though they were. Sometimes we are used to calling things that be as though the way they are. Just say the way they are. There's nothing wrong in that, to say things the way they are. It doesn't mean you are evil. Simply means that you are stating what has happened. But never end there. He said, now the Bible doesn't deny the fact that Abraham's body was pronounced dead. It's right there. But there's a greater fact of God's word. That God now said, Abraham is a father. The doctors didn't say it, God did. Nature didn't say it, God did. Even Abraham didn't say it, God did. So God's word sometimes could be counter-reality. He says he calls the things that be not as though they were. Now look at 18. Who against hope believed in hope? So there's a natural hope. Natural hope that is scientific, biological, logical, which is not wrong in itself. But sometimes the natural hope can become hopeless for us. When I was younger and I ran a test, I was becoming rather very ill, extremely ill. Used to go to the hospital virtually every week. In fact, I just discovered one day that one member of the church then, the dad was not my doctor. I've been telling that story for years. You know, I'll go there, just check myself in. So finally they now found out, why was I falling ill virtually every week? Sometimes it would be very, very terrible signs. And then they had to discover that I had two parts of my body that were gone. And they said that this is usually not curable. And then stuff like that. So really, and the doctor painted a situation that was hopeless. Eventually they gave me drugs, but the drugs were just supposed to manage until maybe something can be done. And they were talking about a surgery, transplant. Everything was coming at once. But, you know, I just heard a song by Don Mwen. You are the Lord that healed me. I didn't even know what the song meant. As soon as I heard the song, I saw myself healed. Now, I didn't get healed that day. Not even a week after. Not 2 weeks after. Not a month after. I still went to the hospital many times after that. But nothing killed my expectation. I knew I saw something, and I was going to become what I saw. To the glory of God, it's now about 31 years now, or more, I'm here. I'm here because I saw it. I saw it in God's word. I heard it, and I was able to see myself in it. Now, there's nothing wrong in taking the doctor's report, but the moment the doctor's report becomes hopeless, you cannot stay there. Say, I cannot stay there. Say it again, I cannot stay there. Therefore, you need the hope that is against that hope. An expectation, a supernatural one, that he might become, Romans 4:18, the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Listen, guys, there are times that God's word will conflict with what you've heard. Sometimes even what your experiences are. And I'd like to say this again. Sometimes what stands against you and I, when it comes to believing God, is something that happened in our past that didn't go too well. Maybe you prayed, you didn't get the answer. Maybe you didn't. So that now becomes what you expect. No, you have to change that mindset. I may not be able to explain why I didn't get what I believed for, but I know if I believe, I'll receive. So I simply stay with that confident expectation. And usually, hear me, the miracles that will come after the one you thought you didn't get will surpass it and cleanse that memory. So what do? You simply do not let anything hold you down. Now, Abraham, before now, this is very critical, this had never happened before. It had never happened before. It's the first time within Scripture Abraham had no prior story to even read. E.W. Kenyon will say he totally abandoned himself to God. There was no prior story he could rely upon. He just, Genesis 15:6, he says, Abraham believed in the Lord. For want of language, the English Bible says believed in the Lord. It's like he just abandoned himself recklessly to God. So, well, if he said it, he's going to do it. So this is Abraham. He heard God's word, which contradicted what he himself was saying. Now listen, if you have been saying something about yourself and you come in contact with what God says, drop your own immediately. The word of God must be superior to what you say about yourself. Is that very clear? It must be superior to your own experience. I know many times our experiences look so real to us and we want to uphold our experiences. I know what I've seen. I know what I'm saying. But you know, God knows what he is saying, and whatever he's saying is superior to yours. You must know how to drop what you're, like a friend will say, he said, I will drop my own like hot potatoes. Poof! Throw it out! And pick up what God has said. He says, now look at this. And being not weak in faith, we'll see this one later, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So hope will mean I must see the right thing. I must have the right picture. I must. You know, I was somewhere and a man gave a prophecy. I was right there. He's a church meeting. And then the man said, this is what I see. And he was speaking in tongues. And he's a man respected, was on radio and television. So I was right at the meeting. And he said that the Lord is saying, and about four of them spoke. And he said, we saw this about you and all that. This was about 26 years ago. And I laughed. Why did I laugh? I can't see it. That's all. I wasn't going to think about it. It was not something very negative. The truth about that is, you know, after what they said, right, I was the one, they actually said, I will no longer be in the ministry. But years after they said that, I actually preached for them. You know why? Because that was what I saw. So you must know how to paint the right canvas, the right pictures in your mind. Now, I believe they were ignorant or innocent or dishonest. I really don't care. What matters is, what did I say? What am I saying? What did I see? In Romans 15 and 13, Paul calls God the God of hope. Let's read it together. Romans 15:13. Let's go. Now, you there? Let's go. Now, the God of hope fills you with what? And peace in what? See that? He gives you what to expect in what? Believing. Say, I'm filled with hope. And here I'm filled with hope. The God of hope, he says, fills you with joy and peace in believing. Let's go on. That you may abound in hope through the power. You don't have a Bible? You don't have a Bible? Open it now. You get it better that way. You are bound in what? Say, I abound in hope. What's hope again? A confident expectation and assurance. Say, I'm confident that God's word is working. Say, I'm confident that God's word is working. Say, he will fill you with hope. Fill you with joy. And peace. In believing. He will fill you with it. I'm overwhelmed with joy. And the peace of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope means I'm expecting something. I'm expectant. Are you expectant? Praise the Lord. You know, God doesn't walk in years. I know that. But he walks with us. And we live in years. And something about a new day. I see a new day as another opportunity. The psalmist says, his mercies are new every morning. If I wake up in the morning, it's a fresh expectation. I simply replan my day. And I'm expecting the word of God to work. And that's how you must see a new day. I'm confident God's word will work. If I lost grounds yesterday, I'm confident I'll regain them today. You see, I've always said to us, life in itself is a confident assurance. I'll repeat the story I usually say about Joseph. We talk about Joseph a lot, about what he went through, you know, in Genesis 37, his brothers hated him, they wanted to kill him and all that. And then he goes to the house of Potiphar in Genesis 39, where he's found as a slave. In the house of Potiphar, he is promoted to be the chief servant of the house. The man so much trusted him, put everything in his care, except his wife. It is that wife that he didn't put in his care that now came to him and wanted him to have sex with her outside of her home. And you know, he refused her a couple of times. You'll have said that's good enough, but then exactly doing the right thing got him into trouble. And they turned him back to prison. And, you know, he didn't murmur, complain, as some of us will do. He's in prison, and right there in prison again, Joseph is made the head of the prisoners. You know, it means he never let the circumstance become his character. He refused to change his character because things weren't going his way. You find believers today, they've stopped praying, they've stopped studying the word, they've stopped preaching the gospel because something they wanted in 2023 didn't happen at December 31. So he said, what is left? And they walk away. He wasn't like that. He simply steadied his faith. He was faithful everywhere. Eventually, he now interpreted the butler and the baker's dreams. Eventually, the butler didn't remember him. He goes back to the house of the king, doesn't remember him at all. You know something about that is that imagine if he remembered him and simply mentioned him to the king. And all the king had to say was, such a good guy in prison. How many years was he supposed to spend? 10 years? Okay, let him spend 6 more months. And you say he's a Jew? He's an Hebrew boy? He's from where? Okay, we'll return to his father. You know, he would have thought that was a greater testimony, but it wasn't. The point was, it was good that the guy forgot. He remembered at the right time. And when he remembered when it mattered. And when he did, here's Joseph, he becomes number 2 in the land. But you know what? In all that story, the one we hardly point at, which I call the greatest miracle in that story, was that his brothers didn't kill him. You see, if they had killed him, there would be nothing to expect. He would have been gone. The fact that you are around today means you can hope, you can expect. The fact that you are seated right here, I know you didn't have that dream come to pass. You experienced this in your business, it happened at work, this happened, the challenges you face in your marriage, even in the work of the ministry. But you know what? You're here. Because you are here, you can believe. You can believe again. You can expect God's word to work. It has no season it can work. And sometimes when things happen, it will clear the memories of the things you thought didn't happen. So really, a Christian cannot be without hope. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul says, our eyes be open to see the hope of his calling. We'll examine that later on. He calls the man who is not born again, Ephesians 2:12, without hope in this world. Without hope and without God in this world. So the very presence of God is hope. The fact that I have the Holy Ghost in me is hope. Don't forget what hope is. It's not a mere wish. It's not I just want something. Hope is a confident expectation because I have seen it within the scriptures. A confident expectation. I have a confident expectation that things will come to pass. I have a confident expectation that all things are working after the counsel of his will. I have a confident expectation. The power of God is working right now. I'm not just saying it as a cliche. I'm saying it because I believe it. So when I hear God's word or I read it. Romans 15:4 says, with the patience and comfort of the scriptures, I have hope. A believer must never join, we'll get that in a moment, the cacophony of people who always sound negative. Personally, I will disconnect myself from you. There was a group like that I joined. It's a group not because I was struggling for the group to join, because I don't want to say so much about it, but I had to join based on my natural obligation. So talk about Nigeria. Always call me, some guys, anything they post is negative. Then whenever you now share something good, they'll say, are you sure? This one, propaganda. Bad news is true. Good news is always propaganda. So I tried to call them to order, and they didn't listen. I exited myself from there. It's been 4 years or so. So I said, we missed you. Please miss me. You won't find me there. They still called me a couple of weeks ago. I said, never. I said, my heart can't take that negativity. If I listen to people like you, I'll have died years ago. I love to hope. I love to expect. It doesn't kill to hope. How would you be so hopeless? You are a believer. How would you be? Someone say, but prayer doesn't change. We have to, the way they talk, keep quiet. If you don't know what to say, shut up. You cannot be given to so much negativity. For some people, everything is bad. The church is not right. The church is not getting it right. The Holy Ghost is not moving. The power of God is not working. The president is not doing right. The governors are bad. All men are animals. All women are donkeys. Children nowadays are evil. Wait. There's nothing good. I don't know. The economy is bad. Insecurity is everywhere. Even the plant is no longer growing in the farm. So what's going on again? Even the breeze is not even breezing well. Excuse me. Why are you so negative? You can't be a believer and be like that. And this has had many people panic. Now I'm not against people leaving the country for biblical. The Bible is filled with immigration into all the world. But some people are just made out of fear. Years ago, I was supposed to preach in the church here in Lagos. And that was year 2001, I think. Said that one or two. And early that morning, I just sensed not to go. I prayed and I felt I shouldn't go for that service. So I told those who were with me, some of your pastors were there. And I said, I was just sensed not to go. So I waited. That was the day there was this bomb blast in Lagos. Around the Izzy Solo now. And, you know, and I didn't go. I didn't know it was going to happen because I didn't plan the bombs. So eventually, I got to know that the meeting, they started it, but it ended because of the bomb blast. So I didn't go. Now, I didn't hear that so that my life would be preserved. No. God does preserve my life, but things like that, but that wasn't it. So when I now saw the pastor, later on, I think it was a Wednesday, he now had a cast, POP. So I was wondering, I knew the bomb blast didn't take place in the church service. So they now told me the story. That while the service was just starting, they were expecting me, but I wasn't coming. So they, as I said, praying, they said, go, because they went far from the cantonment. You know, where it happened. Everybody just ran. The lead who's in Bolt was the pastor. And the brethren pushed the pastor. This part of the story, I've never complained like this before. I've just added this one because I left it for years. They pushed him into the, what called gutter, right? Because he was just washing out. The pastor. That's how the pastor broke his leg. But then the story was that the associate pastor, who was leading the prayer, just said, the Holy Ghost just told him, stay where you are. And he waited. Nothing happened in the building. They said, only two things were not affected. Myself, the pulpit, and the keyboard. People had wounds. For what? For nothing. For hearing a sound. And they were several kilometers away from where the blast took place. Panic. How many times we have taken decisions like that? Panicking. Someone say, the dollar is now this one. Were you spending dollars? Do you know that? Someone said, there was a group I was in. He said, you know, 504 was 2,000 naira in 1982. Did your father buy it? People are hungry. People are always hungry. People were hungry in the Bible. Hunger is part of humanity. Safely so. Why would you not say, we are all hungry? So I'll say, we the masses. How are you the masses? I'm not saying the masses are evil people, but why would you just say we? With anybody. So I say, you know, all of us in this country, we are corrupt. You are who? That's what somebody said, that, you know, the past generation, they are failures. Said, man, no, mention your own father. My father wasn't like that. No, I'm not joking. I said, I can tell you my own father and his contribution to society. No, he wasn't. He left me a name that I'm keeping. Maybe you have no name, but that's why you're changing your surname. You know, don't quickly identify yourself with people. No. I got hope. Say, I've got hope. Don't see yourself panicking. You're so panic. Why are you panicking? The man told, he was the only one just saved with the poop, and that's all. Goo, 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 goo. It was ironic. They had to push the man of God. They are man of God. I almost mentioned the name of the church, but I won't. P.O.P. I said, you too, sir. Why did you run? He said, I didn't know. He was the first person that ran. In Acts 8, the apostles waited. He's not an apostle, he left. So I got hope. I expect good things. So I expect good things. So victory is our path. Amen. It's our path. Jesus' triumph over the devil is a proof of our victory path. Amen. It is a proof of our victory path in life. Glory to his name. Say glory to his name. So when we read the scriptures, we see how to have hope. How to have hope. But listen, victory is what is expected of the believer. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, 37, sorry. Nay, in all these things, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Talking about life, death, principalities and powers, we are more than conquerors. He said, nothing, verse 38, shall be able, 39, shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What a boast by Paul. So we must have that mentality. 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Say, we overcome. Say, we overcome. Say, I overcome. Say, whatever is born of God. Talking about the flesh and the world. Overcoming the world. I cannot be drowned in the world. Loved by the flesh. I was born an overcomer. You must see it. Why would the New Testament writer say that? Because they had seen it in scripture. There is a voice to it. There is a voice to it. There is a voice to victory. You know, Peter, I read that earlier to us. When Peter described Jesus when he was in hell, Jesus never stopped speaking. You know, he didn't just say, you know, whatever God desires, even though I'm God too, but let's see how it works. Or he didn't say, guys, let's see how it goes. No. No, he told the guy, that malefactor, that criminal, he said, you will be with me. Hallelujah. Imagine how the soldiers are, this guy is crazy. Who will be with you? Where? You will be with me. Today, I say to you. Peter now told us when he went into hell. What did he say? You will not abandon your Holy One to suffer corruption. He spoke the 3 days and three nights. He didn't just say that. Let's see how it goes. No, we know how it goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There goes the victory. There goes the victory. Jesus spoke himself for 3 days. Peter lets us see. He spoke the word. He spoke the scriptures. In the harshest and hardest of circumstances, he spoke the word. He spoke the scriptures. Why? Because victory has a voice. It has a voice. There's a way it sounds. It has a voice. There's a tone to it. Words are so important. That Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. Verse 3, the writer says, there was darkness upon the earth in verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the world. Then he said, verse 3, God said. Then he said, God said, and then God saw. Why was that emphasis that God said? Because words mean a lot in the supernatural. Words mean something. Words mean something. He said, God said. He's going to call light out of darkness, he spoke. He's going to give man instruction. Genesis 2, 16 to 17, he spoke. Genesis 3, 8, the voice of God walks in the cool of the day. You notice also that Satan was also talking. So, your mouth is not given for you primarily to eat food. No. No. Your mouth is meant to give direction to your life. Your mouth is meant to cooperate with God's purpose in your life. Know the words you don't say. Is that clear? Know the things you don't repeat. Know them. Have boundaries for your words. Words mean a lot. Words mean a lot. Why is our Bible this big? Because God spoke in there a lot. Men spoke in there. Satan spoke. Everything has a voice. Evil has a voice. Unbelief has a voice. Hope has a voice. Hopelessness has a voice. Doubt has a voice. Faith has a voice. Victory has a voice. Defeat has a voice. Everyone has their own vocabulary. Did you hear what I just said? Everyone has their own vocabulary. It's all there in the scriptures. If words wouldn't mean something to God's plan, he won't ask us to watch what we say. You must know the tone in your voice. Sometimes, like I said earlier on, we speak from our own experiences. Things we think, well, I know. Sometimes you even see a miracle and you start to doubt it. Because maybe you felt you believed for it, you didn't get it. Are you sure there was not something this person also did? Are you sure there was not something? No, don't get yourself into that kind of corner. I am a believer. I am a believer. I believe God's word. I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. Words mean something. Faith has a voice. Doubt has a voice. Condemnation has a voice. Defeat has a voice. There's a tone to it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Even my friends, sometimes I said, don't talk like that here. And I warn you, I don't want that. I know my life. I know what I've seen with my eyes. I know how faith has helped me. I know the negative things I've seen. I know where I would have been if I didn't believe God. I can tell you stories upon stories, but it's not about me. So if I wasn't going to believe, where would I have been? I won't be your pastor today if I didn't know how to hope and believe. No, you have to know how to hope and believe. You have to, because there's nothing left in the Christian walk. So you got to watch the things you hear. Sometimes we load our minds with negativity. And listen, some people, they open their social media handles to trend by saying evil things. You got to be careful. What the kind of jokes you laugh with, you laugh at. I don't joke about health. I don't joke about miracles. I won't even go, come near you. There are things they should not be part of your jokes. Imagine now, if your ears just go deaf, that's not a joke. That's a stupid joke. Why are you lying down on the bed? Are you paralyzed? No, that is not a joke. That is a costly one. Paralysis is not a joke. People who are paralyzed are believing God for healing. Hallelujah. You don't use those things to joke. Is that clear? Is that clear? You don't make the work of the devil look like fun. No, it's not. We war against it. In our words. In our thoughts. Are you with me? Are you with me here? Look at Exodus chapter 13 and 14. Sometimes, some things we call prayer is just doubt. It's doubt. Exodus 14. Now, you know, God called the nation of Israel to leave Egypt. And when he called them to leave Egypt, he didn't tell them about the Red Sea. You and I know that if he had told them about the Red Sea, I said, there will be Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds is called, Sea of Reeds. And they said, don't worry, I'll part it. You part what? So there's sometimes he won't inform you. Because if he informs you, if you had told Joseph, there'll be Potiphar's wife, as soon as he saw her, good morning, ma. He won't become faithful. So sometimes God might not inform you. So here they are, they have seen all the miracles. By the time they have seen all the miracles, and Pharaoh has said, just they go. Go. You are trouble people. Then he shows up, coming after them. And he's coming after them. They're now coming for the Sea of Reeds, called the Red Sea. And they look at Moses. Man of God. Which one is the promised land? The water or the ground? Watch this. In chapter 14 now. Now look at it. Verse 9. And the Egyptians pursued after them on the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pihah Hiroth before Baal Zephon. And then Pharaoh drew nigh of Israel into their heights, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, sore afraid. Looks like they are praying, right? Panic, fear. Oh God. Sometimes you think that's good prayer. No, it's not. Then they said to Moses, this is how you know they are, you know, there's a time you have fear, but you pray out. Philippians 4:6 says, you know, you're anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your request be known to God. But this is where I say, oh God, is that we are going to end? That's how they prayed. So, they had a way they used to do it. I'll talk about that this week or next week. They would cry to the Lord. Then what they can't say directly to the Lord, they say it to Moses. He said, are you not the one? That said God spoke to you. They had seen miracles though. They forgot all of that. And they said to Moses, because you were no grave in Egypt, why have you brought us here to die? Can you imagine that? How did you see die? Wherefore thou hast dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not the word that we did tell you? And didn't we tell you? Let us alone. They were enjoying the miracles. That we may serve the Egyptians. That have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now, let me say something. Assume these guys were 10,000. Do you think they were chorusing it? This is the summary of what they were saying. Morning to evening. Probably explain it better. I told you this. You know that day? When they were giving that prophecy. I told you. But you people, you are too emotional. Why did you follow us? You're too emotional. My own experience with the Lord, I'm wondering, how would a guy who went for 40 years now know the Lord like me? I told you. His mouth, yes, those miracles happened. Yeah. I mean, yeah, some of them were true. Yeah. But you see, you said so. I told you. We all just die here. You know? Some will be singing new songs. Oh, where is your eyes, oh Lord? Oh, that was the summary. Thousands of people. Then Moses said to them, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you by today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, make sure you don't read this one in Cairo. You shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. This looks like a good prayer point. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord knew there was a sea there. Hallelujah. If he calls you to do anything and you see any obstacle, know that he knew it was going to be there. Everything he told you before you got to know the obstacle is enough to face the obstacle. You don't need anything extra. No. Not at all. So here's Moses. He says, no, wait, I see something of the Lord. Then the Lord said, why are you crying unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. He had done it before in Egypt, but not for the sea. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So right there, he had all the resources. Everything was there. God always prepares you, fills your heart with his word. If only you can pay attention to. So, even what we call prayer can have a tone of doubt. Prayer in fear, panic, anxiety. Praise the Lord. Now imagine if Moses hadn't spoken to them. You know, some of them were like just saying, you know what? Let's go and meet Pharaoh. Let's negotiate. Let's negotiate. Oh, they will have done things in panic. Write this down. Panic is never God's will for your life. Panic. Don't panic. Panic is anxiety. He says, be anxious for nothing. Some will get into a marriage. And then you start, something that happens, they start saying, maybe it's not the will of God. Why? Panic. You start ahead of business venture. You prayed. You had a leading of God to go ahead. Then the business having problems. Say, maybe I'll start selling Bibles. Why? Panic. You said you are healed in your body. Then the next day, someone starts to grow. Say, because I had boasted yesterday. If I had not boasted, then this one now showed up. You think you are healed? Let's show you another side of disease. No, I refuse to panic. The word of God is working. The word of God is working. I refuse to panic. You saw at church. Things didn't go so well. One guy came to me and said, sir, maybe I was not supposed to start the church. I said, why? He said, it's been 1 year now, 2 years. So I said, let me share my own story with you. When you heard it. He said, what did you do then? He said, I won't tell you. They're looking for a formula. Just go back and continue what you're doing. And put God's word on your lips. Say, I'm called to do this. And I'm going to stay with it. Praise the Lord. Hopelessness can't come from God. Did you hear that? No, it can't come. It can't come. So there's a voice of victory. There's a voice of hope. It has a tone. It has a tone. So what's your tone? And what normally affects our tone, the things we hear. The things we've said to ourselves. Sometimes the parents can get it wrong. My dad happened to be one of my best friends. But there was a day we had an argument over his business. And he felt I wasn't doing something about the business. And I mean, I was in university then. So he felt that I was taking the business unseriously. So he said to me, how do you know that this is not what you are going to do for the rest of your life? So I told him, he was shocked. People were there, I said, I won't. So how do you know? I said, I know where I'm going. So let me add one more. It was in the open place. I said, I'm going to buy this business. He laughed. He laughed like, if I slap your face, you know I bought it. I owned it. The day he signed off, I said, you remember I told you this? He had forgotten. Me, I didn't forget. So I did. Hey, well, that's how God, you know, that's how God. So anyway, I knew when I formed the business, I put your name as a shareholder with 2%. Sometimes parents are responsible for saying the wrong things. As a parent, don't speak in anger. Deal with your anger first. Don't speak in anger. Deal with your anger first. As a spouse, deal with your anger first. Don't speak in anger. Deal with it first. Deal with the anger. People are prone to make you angry because you also do the same to others. Deal with your anger first. Are you here? Deal with it first. Words are significant in our lives. Words. Words. Do you know, if you record your words in a day and listen to it at night, you may be shocked the things you say. Measure your words. Know what you are not going to say. And know what you are going to say. Watch this. Words are so significant that the writer of Genesis shows us how many times God spoke. It's by words that we preach the gospel, right? Or has anybody got saved before by doing this thing? You gotta say, what's up? You gotta preach, right? Why? Because salvation is in your words. How do we cast out demons? By speaking. Heal the sick by speaking. How do we pray? I used to pray like this with his mind. Well, what's going on? How do we praise God? God raises his hand and says nothing. Praise God now. He knows what's on my heart. No. Prayer is in what? Words. Praise. Preaching the gospel. Are you here? How do we receive salvation? How do we sin? We sin first in words. We'll see that next week. James said, if a man can bridle his words, he'll bridle his whole body. The words are significant. There's a tone to it. There's a voice to victory. There's a voice to defeat. There's a voice to hopelessness. Are you there? Matthew 12. Jesus said in Matthew 12, in verse 35. Let's take it for 34. Let's go. Are you there? Let's go. I'm waiting for you. Let's go, let's go. O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? See that? Speak, that is by speaking. Go on. 35. A good man. See, I'm a good man. So I'm a good person. Raise your hand, say I'm a good person. I only have good things on my heart. I don't speak evil things because I'm a good person. Said a good man out of the good treasure. The word treasure there is deposits. Of the heart brings forth good things. Continue now. And an evil man, Look at 36. Every idle word. They shall what? Are your words important? Are you going to give account of the things you say? You will. You are going to give account of what you say. What about jokes? Jokes. Side comments. I said it in anger. Because the person offended me. Because I was feeling bad. Every idle word. Look at verse 36, 37. Let's go. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. Hallelujah. If you knew your words would matter, both here and afterlife, would you watch what you say? Now, they will matter. Watch what you say. What God gave us words, a voice, to give a direction to our lives. Let me ask you, will a man's words affect his eternity? If a man says no to Jesus, does it affect his eternity? What if he says yes to Jesus? So your words affect your eternity. If your words can affect your eternity, how much more your present life? Hallelujah. Worry and fear come by words. In Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, take no thought, that don't be anxious, saying, there's a voice to doubt. There's a voice to fear. There's a voice to anxiety. So listen, watch what I'm about to say. Learn to listen to what you say. When you catch yourself say something that reeks of hopelessness, fear, ask yourself, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Where is this hopelessness coming from? Where is this panic coming from? And sometimes when you have people you know, you are listening to somebody, you listen to something. Not really, sir, not really, come here. This is not how you used to talk. Something has changed in the tone. You are saying the same thing, but the tone has changed. You've heard something. You've heard something. And I've told you over the years, man is a product of what? Influence. Man is a product of influence. Faith has a voice. Hope has a voice. Fear has a voice. Look at Numbers 13. It has a voice. Always know how to stand out from the crowd. Did you hear me? Know how to stand out from the crowd. Numbers 13. Now, this was the nation of Israel. They just left Egypt and were going to the land of promise. And Moses had sent out some spies. Spies would mean they went to check out the land to see what was there. So when they came back in Numbers 13, look at what they came back with. They said, in verse 26, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of children of Israel and said unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word, Numbers 13:26. And to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land which thou sent us, surely flowed with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. That's good. Nevertheless, watch people that add but to God's word. But then now, I know it's in the word. I know God said so, but he said, nevertheless, in spite of what's in the word, in spite of what God said, the people be strong that dwelled in the land. The cities are walled very great and more so. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak. And they went on and on. 30. Caleb stilled the people that he stopped them before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able. The men said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They were in the majority. They said, no. You two don't know what you're talking about. We know what we're saying. Look at Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and what? And had a vigil of tears. All night crying. Yet again they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Look at verse 28. Let's start from verse 26. So take it together. 26, let's go. And the Lord spake to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long will I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? Go on. So wait. So when we don't take God at his word, we're murmuring against who? God. Look at the next statement, 28. Say unto them, as truly as I live, as you have spoken in my ears. Hallelujah. As you have said it, it will happen. As you have spoken in my ears, so shall it be. But Caleb and Joshua stood out of the crowd. I have what the world says I have. I see what the world says I see. I am what the world says I am. I have what the world says I have. You say that in spite of contrary circumstances. Notice, everyone was saying the same thing. It looks like that's the reality because, everybody around you, they're saying the same thing. No, you look into the word. What is God saying? I must uphold the testimony of the word of God above my own testimony, above my own experiences. My words must cooperate with what God is saying. Now, quick one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In the second text I was going to read earlier. 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says, the things that were written before, they are for our learning, right? Huh? Okay, now look at this. 1 Corinthians 10. And verse 11. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Are you there? Let's go. Now all these things happened unto them for what? Examples. 1 Corinthians 10, 11. For what? Examples. And they were written for our admonition. Now, the word admonition there means caution. The word notitia, N-O-U-T-H-E-I-S-I-A, is to caution you so that we don't fall into that same example. And one of the things they were cautioned about was murmuring, complaining. Complaining. You must ensure you take away complaining from the tone of your voice. At work, you are complaining. At home, you are complaining. To your spouse, you are complaining. To your children, you are complaining. To those who work for you, you are complaining. To those you are working for, you are always complaining. That's a negative spirit. Don't be filled with complaining. Hallelujah. The song I'm going to ask the music team to sing is a song by Rick and Kathy Russo. I learned the song some 30 years ago. About 30 years ago. And it says, a thankful heart. Create a thankful home. Always complaining at each other's soul. I'm right. You are wrong. You are wrong. I'm right. I told you. You just And you're asking how the devil got in. That's the door now. In fact, you gave him an elevator to enter. Abba. You're in a local assembly, complain, complain, complain. You're in a business, complain, complain, complain. Paul says, they are for our warning. Be warned. Warn yourself against murmuring. Speaking from a position of dissatisfaction. Some people have that whining in their voice. You see, you hear it. Good morning. Morning. How are you? Well, we can't complain. He's complaining. He said, we can't complain. How about that business we're going to do? Oh, My brother. Let's just thank God for life. He's complaining for life. Let's just thank God for life. He thank God. Remove that from your voice. You're always sounding like the world has crashed. Jesus said, the end of the world is not yet. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Some expectant. Remember, the psalmist said, his tender mercies are new every morning. So which means every day is a chance to believe again. Right? To hope again. Praise God. To hope again. I remember a couple. They just lost a child by a miscarriage. And then I said, put me on the speakerphone. I've had that experience many, many times. And I said, you know what? That one is gone. There should be no conversation anymore about what just happened until the new child comes. And that one is going to stay. So I said, right now, raise your hands and say, thank God, this year, we're having a child. Say, there must be no conversation again. She said, thank you. Then the wife said, but the doctor, why didn't the doctor predict this one? Now let's take God at his word. They have their second child. Hallelujah. And I can tell you story upon story. Because you know what will happen? Then the wife and the husband will start looking at him and say, maybe I should not have married him. I've seen that break. I've seen it many times. I think it's a warning from God. It was that other brother in Shomolu PCF. That but God after that sister. You know, Satan now begins to paint pictures. Very silly. Very, very silly. Because if you get yourself to think that way, you will keep having the wrong reasons for when things go the way they go, rather than harming yourself with a victory shout and say, this one, I win. Hallelujah. Don't look for who to blame or what to blame. I said, come on, speak God's word. Doesn't the world like that? It was almost, 7 months. The woman was in depression. I said, come and see. Because I'd seen it before. They said, nobody said anything. So I'm going to believe God and release our faith. Hallelujah. We thank God. His word is working. Said his word is working. So say no to panic. Did you hear me? Don't forget that my story of the pastor. So you two, they don't put you inside the gutter. Say, I say no to panic. Say, I say no to anxiety. I'm not jittery. I don't panic. I am confident. I'm assuredly confident. I'm confidently assured. The word of God is working. The word of God is working. The word of God is working. In my body, the word of God is working. In my mind, the word of God is working. In my emotions, the word of God is working. In my ministry, the word of God is working. In my family, the word of God is working. In my career, the word of God is working. In my business, the word of God is working. In our nation, the word of God is working. In my relationship, the word of God is working. I don't panic. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting miracles. I have the voice of victory. I have the voice of victory. There's no murmuring in my tongue. No complaining. No bitterness. No anxiety. I'm filled with faith. A confident expectation. Lift your hands and bless the Lord right now. It's working. It's working. It's working.